Scripture today is from Luke, chapter 13, verses 10 through 17. Now he was teaching in one of the synagogues on the Sabbath, and just then there appeared a woman with a spirit that had crippled her for 18 years. She was bent over and was quite unable to stand up straight. When Jesus saw her, he called her over and said, "Woman, you are set free from your ailment." When he laid his hands on her, immediately she stood up straight and began praising God. But the leader of the synagogue, indignant because Tina had cured on the Sabbath, kept saying to the crowd, "There are 6 days on which work ought to be done. Come on these days and be cured, and not on the Sabbath day." But the Lord answered him and said, "You hypocrites, does not each of you on the Sabbath untie his ox or his donkey from the manger and lead it away to give it water? And ought not this woman, a daughter of Abraham, whom Satan bound for 18 long years, be set free from this bondage on the Sabbath day?" When he said this, all his opponents were put to shame, and the entire crowd was rejoicing at all the wonderful things that he was doing. Here is the scripture.
With our second one, we decided to find out the sex ahead of time. They said it would be a boy. They showed us here, here, and here on the sonogram to prove it. Truth be told, I had to take their word for it because it just looked like little dots to me, and I couldn't make heads or tails of it. So, a boy. Now we have the job of choosing a name for this boy. With our first, we named him after his father's side of the family. So with this one, I wanted to name him from my side. Early on, we agreed on the first name, Joshua, after my brother. So it took a little longer settling on the middle name. You know, names are important. You need to choose them carefully. Many cultures choose a name based on its greater meaning. When I was an undergrad at TCU, I worked in the journalism department, and the head of the department was an Indian gentleman by the name of Anas Abali. He once told me that his name meant radiant stream. Interestingly enough, once I knew the meaning of his name, it truly fit him. He was energetic and cheerful in a contagious kind of way, outgoing and kind. You can go back to the ancient times of Genesis and see the meanings of names in the brothers Jacob and Esau. Esau was an outdoorsman, worked with his hands. He had a ready complexion, not necessarily a deep thinker. And Esau just happens to mean red. Jacob, the sneaky one who tricks his brother twice and dad the new, his name means one who supplants, or the grabber. You know, I bet if you think about it, everybody here has a friend, but it's hard to imagine them with any other name. Roger. Can you see him? He just looks like Roger. It's as if someone saw this person, got to know him, and said, "Yep, you should be called Roger." But of course, that's hardly ever the way it is with names. You get a name and then you grow into it. Maybe somebody is a Bush because that's the name they were given, and over time, he grew into his name. Or think about this. How many Graces do you know who were rough and tumble tomboys romping around the house? Maybe a few start out that way, but eventually they grow into their names. They become graceful, gracious, grace. Rarely do we pick our names for ourselves. Our names pick us. Our parents give us our names. You know, it took me the longest time to understand what I would see in movies and shows as a kid when someone would ask a person their name and then ask what was their given name. And I didn't get that. It was much later as an adult that I realized that your name might be Jones or Smith or Higginbotham, the family name, and that your first name, Sue, Michelle, John, that was your given name, a name that was given to you by your parents or whoever had that privilege of naming you. And then, of course, there are the names that we receive by others throughout our lives. Some sometimes these names, these nicknames, are not at all the names we would have chosen for ourselves. There was a wonderful movie that came out a few years ago based on a prize-winning, award-winning children's novel called Holes, a movie by the same name. It has two stories wrapped together and intertwined in a very skillful way. In order to take part, a young man is sent to a rehabilitation facility. I think it was called Camp Greenlake. And he was sent there to amend his ways and to learn and grow and to be a good boy, convicted for a crime he didn't actually commit. But everyone there at Camp Greenlake, they have their given names, John, Joe, Francis, Marion, but then they had their other names. The new guy became Caveman. And there was the boy with really thick glasses, X-ray. One named Farfetch, never quite figured out the logic behind that name. There was also a young man named Armpit. I think that one's not too hard to figure out. Sometimes we are given names in loving jest, designating that which is loved or admired about a person. For instance, maybe the one who is always asking the questions about life and its deeper meaning, we might call them Socrates. Yet there are other not so generous names. Pee-wee, Fatso, Hunchback, Crip, Retard. Sometimes these names represent our cruelty towards others rather than our love. A new girl in college, Ben Israel, who ate dry salads and vegetables, would never join in the late night pizza sessions or run to the pit, that's what we call the snack fried food area at TCU, for a milkshake. I never could understand. I mean, she was so weight conscious. I thought, gee whiz, she's so thin, she could eat whatever she wants. But one day she told me that when she was little, she was overweight and everyone called her chubby. She made the most of it. She laughed along with them, but deep inside, she was dying. She made a vow that she would lose so much weight that no one would ever again call her chubby. And she did. So much so that she had to go to a hospital and receive treatment for her disorder and sustained a lasting effect of damage to her heart and her liver. Can you feel that pain? Do you know that pain? The pain of a name that hurts, that traps, confines, cuts to the heart. William Shakespeare may have said that a rose by any other name would smell as sweet, but it's different when the name that stings is attached to or thrust upon you. Tubby, Greasehead, the nose. It makes a difference how we are named. Today's gospel story is about a woman who is identified as the bent woman. How would you like to be immortalized in Scripture forever that way? She was bent over, had been bent over for 18 years, staring at the ground, back terribly contorted for many, many years. And she doesn't have a name. Nobody in town can remember one anyway. When they saw her creeping down the street, body bent, eyes attempting to lift up from the ground, they didn't say, hey, there comes Mary, or oh, look, it's Elizabeth. They said, here comes that bent woman. That crippled woman. That was her name. That was her life, her destiny, her whole sad fate. You know, I can admit that occasionally I am amused by the influence of political correctness on how or what we call a person. Last week, I quoted a very old expression, if you recall, too many chiefs and not enough Indians. But simultaneously, I was aware of the fact that now we are expected to call them, and rightly so, Native Americans. But sometimes we take it a little too far. Short people are no longer simply short, they are vertically challenged. Well, and yet, those for whom these new labels change their outlook and the view of others, they are so important. You can remember some of our traditional designations, crippled, blind, deaf, retarded. Now we call them persons with disabilities. Or someone I know said persons who are differently able. V. visually challenged, special needs. Surely this is a good attempt by persons who are different from the majority to name themselves, to gain some freedom from having the majority name them, pigeonhole them, and thus discriminate against them. But the woman in our scripture doesn't have a name, other than the one given to her by the town, the name based on her disability. She doesn't have an identity other than that of a victim. She doesn't have a family, it seems, no occupation, nothing other than her deformity. She's the one who's met, stooped, bearing upon her shoulders an invisible burden of being different. The burden of not looking like everyone else. The burden of not being able to do what everyone else can do. She is the crooked woman, the bent woman. And there she is in our passage today. For us, and for everyone who is so named. She's just a drunk, or that little kid in the wheelchair, or that fat woman, that slow old guy, the gimp. She is encountered by Jesus, and how Jesus refers to her. Jesus heals her physically, and that is wonderful. For the first time in her adult life, she is able to stand up straight, to look straight ahead, to be restored to what we call normalcy. But perhaps just as wonderful is the way Jesus speaks to her. What Jesus says about her. He doesn't call her disabled or hindered or a victim of life's unfairness, though from most points of view, she is. Jesus seems to have no need in making her a professional victim so that her disability defines her whole life. Rather, Jesus calls her a daughter of Abraham. This woman who we call bent is called by Jesus daughter of Abraham. What does this mean? Who was Abraham? Abraham was the great-great-granddaddy of Israel. He was the one whom one starry night a promise was given. God promised to make a great nation out of Abraham, and that through that nation all nations of the earth would be blessed. She is a daughter of Abraham. She is an heir to the blessings of God. Moreover, as a daughter of Abraham, she is called to be a blessing to the whole world. She is meant for more than superficial, cruel, limiting labels. Bent over though she is part of God's great salvation for the whole world. She stands up straight. Even if her back had not been healed by Jesus, she would have stood up straight. For her life had been caught up in God's promises to the world. Her life had been renamed, not as a long story of injustice or victimization or sadness, but as a part of God's great drama of redemption. Let us therefore remember her, not as a sad victim, not as the woman with the bent back, but as a daughter of Abraham. And Jesus has named you too. He will not let you acquiesce to the names the world wants to lay upon you. You are not old, heavy, plain, crippled, nerdy, or any other name people have tried to put upon you. You are daughters and sons of Abraham, children of the living God. Your life is meant to count for something. You are part of God's great drama of redemption. Therefore, in our church, when a person is baptized, they receive their name. Well, they might be called Daniel, Bethany, Wesley, but at that moment of baptism, we give them a much more determinative, revealing name. Christian. When you receive this name, you are called to live into it, to let it transform you in every way, and it indeed has the power to do so. When you take the name Christian for yourself, we then look to your life to be a long story of growing into that name, coming to embody that name, living into God's gracious dreams for you and for us. You also are a daughter or son of Abraham. You are challenged to live into that legacy, to see in others not what the world sees, but what God sees. You are called to cast off the labels of the world and to see in others the light of God's grace. When you look into the face of another, you don't see years of alcohol abuse, string of bad jobs, facial deformities, eyes too wide set. You see the image and likeness of God. And you are challenged to give names of grace to one another. Patient, clever, resourceful, loving, a great gardener, a contagious smile, a good listener. Names like these that encourage, that cultivate, and bless. You sons and daughters of God, your name calls you to a different path from the world's path of selfishness and cruelty. Your name, whatever else we may call you, is Christian. So stand up straight and act like it. May peace of God be yours.